I said, I don't know about you guys. I said, but I'm still thankful to be saved. I'm fire. I've been saved 4 years, but I'm still on fire. I still enjoy my salvation. I still look forward to see what God's going to do in my life and how much more He's going to do. I have hard times and that, and I just hope that even in my hard times, I hope that I never lose the joy of my salvation, ever. Even in the hard times, that you know, I can usually find some good. I know, I'm choking on my gum. I shouldn't even be chewing gum right now. Lord, forgive me. No, but the joy of my salvation has yet to leave me. And I hope that it never does. I know people say, oh, you get saved, you're happy for a while, then you lose it. God forbid, I hope I never lose mine. Maybe it's just because I got saved laying on my back looking up saying, I got nowhere else to go, Lord, but hell. There's only one other way out of it, and that's going to be you, Lord. And so I'm thankful for what He's done, where He's brought me from, where He has me today, and who knows where I'm going. And I don't mean physically going to another state. I mean just who knows where I'm going. I told Jim Wilcox, which most of you know, I said, when it's time for me to retire here on earth, I said, I hope the Lord just brings me to eternity. There's nothing left for me on this earth anymore. Once I'm retired, that's it. I want to be done. I want to go to heaven. I mean, but anyway, we're going to start in Luke 16. Luke 16. It's going to be in verse 15. Luke, you got your Bible? Is it broke, bud? Your Bible? Luke 16. Chapter 15. Okay. You got it, bud? All right, Luke 16, 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. In the text here, we see Jesus is talking to the people who really think they are something and are held in high regards by man. God sees them as an abomination. If you think of yourself and you think that you're really something and people see you the same way, take note. God thinks you're an abomination. God is not looking down on Dale Morris saying, yes, almighty Dale. Oh, no. We're on the same playing field in God's eyes. I am no better than any human that is on this earth. God is not looking at me saying, yes, you're better this way, Dale. No way. He's saying, that pride, you thinking that way and having people think, do you know a man can build himself up so much that he will get people who follow him, who hold him in higher esteem than God? Some people look at people like that, like there are God and there's no God on this earth but the devil. God says, those in Luke 16, 15, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God is not a respecter of persons and holds no man in any high place. We see this very clear in Romans 2, 11. It says, there is no respect of persons with God. There is none. There's not a different level. You know, people may be on a different walk in their life. They may be one more mature than the other or so on and so forth. One might have more wisdom because they've been walking longer. But God does not look down and say, oh yes, this one here has more of my joy, more of my mercy because they've been walking. He is not doing that to somebody. He has not put me on a higher playing field than anybody else. Just because He called me to preach doesn't mean that He called me to be a king of anybody. I rule myself, and I rule my home. That is it. But does it mean that I'm better than my wife? God forbid. No, it does not mean I'm better than my wife. What happens in our family is, me and my wife talk about things, and 99.9% of the time, I know you're not going to believe this, but we agree, and we make the decision together. But if it had to be, then I would just have to be the one to make the ultimate decision. But I don't throw it up in her face, say, yeah, God said I'm better than you. That's no, no, no. People got that all twisted up in churches today. I'm not going to get on that issue right now, but that is not my wife. It says that what? Twain have become one. We are one flesh. That's what we are now. So therefore, I'm to treat her like I would treat better than I would treat myself. Matter of fact, God says, you better watch over as a weaker vessel. You better watch over her. Why? Because if you don't, I'm not even going to hear your prayers. That's what the Bible says. God won't hear your prayers if you're treating a woman in the way you're not supposed to. That's what the Word of God says. We see this we've seen that in Romans 2:11. God is not a respecter of persons. So when you and others are set on a pedestal, God will throw that away. He says in Obadiah 1:4, says, though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. I know it wasn't too many months ago that I seen that the Lord was starting to use me more, and people were calling on me. And all of a sudden, I realized my head was getting bigger, and I'm getting an ego and pride. And then God had to come along and do exactly what that verse just said. He had to pop that bubble and bring me back down and realize, oh no, without God, I am nothing. Without God, listen, I tried to give myself some esteem. I mean, it's okay to feel good about yourself. It is. It's okay. It's normal. There's some normalcy to that. But when you start taking that to a whole new level, like you start looking down on people, you think you're better than them because you're in a different place than them. God forbid if we start doing that and get that kind of attitude towards somebody, especially if they're lost and in need and need help. Nobody's going to want to talk to me if I walk around thinking I'm better than them. I don't think that I'm better than anybody. I don't even think I'm good for me. And thank God I'm saved, because I know I'm not good for me. God's good for me. The Lord's good for me. But it says in Obadiah 1:4 that though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. The Lord would have us to be the exact opposite. And we see this in Matthew 23:12. It says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. In order for God, to lift us up, we need to be brought low. Paul says, decrease me so that you can increase. How can people ever see Jesus and Dale when I'm so high and mighty on myself? How can they ever see Jesus Christ? How can anybody in my family ever see the changed person that the Lord has done for me if I'm too busy being in the way? If I'm too busy putting my thoughts and myself and my actions in the way, how can anybody ever see the Jesus Christ that is in me? Listen, I stand here before you today not because of Dale Morey. I stand here because I had a Savior that died on the cross who saved me and called me out. That's why I stand here today. God forbid if I ever get there. I mean, I don't ever want to get back to that place where I thought that God really needed me in the ministry before for this ministry to go anywhere. You realize that ministry has been doing fine for 40 years without me. It will do fine for the next eternity. Sure, God wants to use us. He wants us to humble ourselves to Him and to His ways, and He'd like to use us. But if He took me out right now, the ministry would go on. People would still get saved. I mean, it would just happen that way. But we get so high-minded that God needs us. Listen to me. If I dropped off the face of this earth tonight, whatever plan the Lord has for Amity Baptist Church would still go on. Amen. It's not going to take me. It's going to take faithfulness of people, prayer, and such like that. But it's not because of anybody that's in this church. The reason why this church is going to go, because God's going to make it go. He's the one that's going to make it grow. He's the one who's going to bring people in. Yeah, He puts a desire in our hearts to get out there and get people in here. But it's not because of us while they're here. And when they get in here, we don't need to fill their heads with our baloney. We need to fill their head with the Word of God. It needs to be about Him and what He can do and His power and His strength. It says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Realize I can't run a family without the Lord. Nobody ever taught me how. I have no clue how except for Him. I can't get up and preach. My goodness, I would have never imagined in a million years that the Lord would call somebody like me to preach. I had no desire to do that. I had no knowledge to ever get up and do this kind of thing. That's why it says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can't strengthen. It says strengthen yourself in the Lord. Strengthen yourself in Him. Why? Because He is the one that can do it for us. I'm telling you, in the weak and hard moments, in those weak and hard times, put
listen, I always have to tell my family, this is a hard time right now, Amy, but we cannot rely on our feelings. We cannot rely on ourselves. We have to trust God. We have to. And the God has taken, and He's done things for us, and He's moved things certain ways, but then He's pulled Himself back out and I said, now who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? We've become pretty comfortable trying to trust the Lord, don't you think, Amy? More comfortable than if somebody steps in and helps us. Because how do we learn? Two people who've never been saved and up until four years ago, how do we trust a God that we have never known? Unless we're put in a position or a situation where we have to trust Him.
That's hard stuff, but I tell you, ain't nothing like when you get it down. So he says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. How shameful one will feel when God humbles you in front of those who set you on high. Humble yourself in the eyes of God and those who will lift you up. Save yourself from the destruction and get the pride out.
Here a man's walking and he's all high-minded and prideful, thinking that he's really something. And then all of a sudden, boom, the people that have been watching him, the one who set him up on that pedestal, they see him come crashing down. You want to talk about humility? God will take a person to that point. If he or she is going to continue to be in that place where they're putting themselves above everybody and everything else, even to the point where they think they're above God, God will humble them in front of everybody who put them on that pedestal. God will humble you. God will humble you. No matter what it takes, He's going to bring you to that point where you realize, oh, that's wrong. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He shall lift you up. That's what it says. God forbid if I lift myself up. Gosh, you know, I've been saved 4 years. I'm a young preacher. I like to go out there and set fire on this world. But I know this, that right now is not the time. I cannot let my pride and my heart and my desires go ahead and trump what God might have for me and miss out what He might do for me. In this area, let's go ahead and let loose. I'm sure God got me here for a reason. So in this area, there's a work to be done. Let's do it. But if I go to outstep my bounds and think that I'm somebody without praying to God or getting what He thinks or reading this, what His Word can tell me, I'm just telling you now, you'll see a person get humbled. God will humble me. And you guys will watch that happen to me. Okay? That's just how God is. Listen. God forbid if I ever get in that frame of mind. Please, Lord, help me. We are who we are by the grace of God. And for no other reason. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. Paul understood this. He understood that without God, he was nothing. He understood that his righteousness is a filthy rag. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as the leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I'm just telling you now, my righteousness, when I'm out there and I'm in myself and I'm full of me and I'm full of what I want to do and I'm full of my works, God is looking down going, that is a filthy rag. That is disgusting to God. That is not what He wants to see. Not by my righteousness, by His. He is the one who... This is why God had to save us. Because we didn't have that in us. We were not born with it. There was nothing good within us. And if Paul makes that clear, let me go. Before I get ahead of myself, he says, Paul understood this. He understood that without God, he was nothing. And that his righteousness was as filthy rags. And he also says that in us, that is in our flesh, dwells no good thing. Romans 7:18-19 says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. You see, so when we're in our righteousness, God knows that we want, it's our will, we want to do good. But we don't know how, because we don't have the righteousness in us. When we're following in the footsteps of what Jesus Christ has given us, what God has given us, and what His will is for our lives, then Then and only then can we find what we are supposed to do. We can find that it's good. And God's not looking down at us like we're unrighteous, filthy rags. Man has taken the place in Christian churches today. Man has taken the place over the precedence of what God would have us to do. That's just the bottom line. And I think it's a dangerous place to be. Let me ask you this. In the past, let's just say 10 years, how man has ran things and how man has done things. Let me ask you something. Has it done Christianity any good? Has it made America any better? You think people would wake up to that and smell that? That something is not right? That something needs to be changed? I'm just telling you, no. God is trying to nicely humble America. Humble us Christians who live in America. I'm telling you now, it's going to get more deep and it's going to get worse than what we're already going through. Because God is going to humble the Christians in America. He's going to humble the Baptists. He's going to humble us Christians, those who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to humble it. Why? Because we've set ourselves above Him. We read in Luke 19 already that He sees those people that are doing that as an abomination. There are men out there, men of God, I mean, who have been around for a long time that people are absolutely putting on a pedestal and they're listening to what they're saying and they trust every word they say. They don't go back and check their Bibles or, you know, this or that, and they have just put them on such a high pedestal that they have forgotten they need to study their own Bible and do, you know, people have gotten lazy. Brother Bush, they expect preachers and evangelists to get up here and do all the studying while they just sit there and listen to what the preacher has to say. No, God has called you to study on your own. Amen. Study to show thyself proven unto the Lord and not of men. That's what it says. We're to take this Bible and we're to read it and study it, live it and breathe it for our own selves. And not just trust what any man might say up here. Man makes mistakes. God doesn't. Man makes mistakes. God doesn't. Therefore, if you're relying on what God says, you have no problems. You have no worries. You just don't have any issues. The only issue you might have is what God showed you about yourself. That's a hard issue, man. That's a hard thing. But Paul says that in his flesh, there's only one way to be delivered from who and what we are. Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with me, the mind of myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's only one person who can save me from who I am, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ can help me be righteous. He can help me to be separate. He can help me to be what I'm supposed to be. And you know what? When you are being what Christ wants you to be, people aren't going to lift you up to a higher state. They're not going to look at you like you're higher than God. Why? Because you're doing it the way God called you to do it. But when people start getting lifted up, it's because they're doing it in their own power and their own ways. And you know what? It's very easy for us humans to have another human tickle our ears and give us what we want to hear and all that stuff. That's not what God called us to do. I'm not here to tickle anybody's ears or make them feel good. I'm just here to preach what the Lord has given me. And that is absolutely it. Nothing else. I don't desire anything else. I don't want nothing else. But people are all caught up in that in these days. And they're just lifting everybody out and they're forgetting all about God. They're putting Him on the back burner. It's good to go to a man of God when you need help, and it really is, if you need some wisdom. But it's even better if you go to your Father in heaven, who knows what's best. If you still can't get it, it's good to go up to your pastor, your preacher, and say, you know, I've been praying on this thing, and I just can't seem to get the answer. What do you think? What's a step that I can take? And then maybe he has something you can go read, or maybe the Lord put something on his heart for him to tell you or whatever. But we should always go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him what He would have us to do first. What do you think about this, Lord? What would you have me to do? I prayed that today before I came here. And Lord, if this is what you want, then you know what? Just keep that door open. Let us keep going, move forward. If not, then just take the rug out from underneath us. I don't want to be in something that's just going to crumble because God is in it. Is it in it? I want Him before us. Man, it's His battle. You know, and I preached this morning on having laborers. And the God would send laborers out. Why? He called it His harvest. This is His harvest. We're just His laborers. But you know what? The laborers are getting few. We're just here doing what He would have us to do. But we want to take things into our own hands. And that's when we start getting all prideful and puffy. I tell you this right now, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for this Bible, I can't give anybody in this room any help. Because that's where I learn it from.
That's right.
It's the only place I learn it from. Anyway, so God does not like someone being filled with self and pride. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. That's hard. That's hard for people to do these days, is to submit themselves under somebody who's older than them or an elder of the church. He says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's something? We're to be subject one to another. Why? Because we're one body. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are now His. And if we are His, that means you are my you are my brothers and my sisters. How can I treat you any different when He bought you? And the same blood bought me, and the same blood bought you. We're brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be in this thing together. We're not supposed to be warring with each other. But you know, you guys have been around long enough to see that there's always constant battles and wars going on between the brethren. Always. He says, that's what He says. Submit. Or be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Whatever happened to humility? Whatever happened to having that forgiveness toward our brethren and the humility towards one another? It's almost like it's non-existent anymore. Coming from a gang. I understand that we do dirt to each other and certain loyalties go to one place or another and so on and so forth. But in the body of Christ? In the body of Christ? That's not supposed to be. There's more division in the body of Jesus Christ than there are in gangs that are setting up against each other. I told Amy, I said, I got stabbed more in the back now being a Christian than I ever have being a gang member. That's something? And it's not supposed to be that we're the body of Christ. Do you understand why America is slipping through our fingers? We can't win victories. I sent a text out to people and had them go ahead and look up. They have now what they call the Queen James Bible. It came out in November 2012, and it's a homosexual Bible. I'll show you it when we're done here. I'll show you it. It's called the Queen James Bible, and it's for gay people. That's because why? Old Christian. This is what's happening because of pride. Because of man's getting in the way. Because of man's ways getting in the way. No longer are people seeing Jesus Christ, but they're hearing a name. They're hearing a name. They're hearing some famous preacher who might come in. No, we need to hear that Jesus Christ might come through that man preaching the Word of God. But we've gotten it backwards. Now we're worried about who's coming in and who's not going to come in. It used to be somebody would get a phone call and say, hey, we're going to do a camp meeting. Can you come in and preach? I'll be there. Now, you can't even pay people to come into church anymore. We're brothers and sisters. I have people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ who will not have anything to do with me because I stand up here and preach. You know what I have against them? Nothing. I don't live my life that way. I live my life according to this. If God didn't want me doing what I'm doing, then I wouldn't be here. Amen. Would have pulled the carpet out for me a long time ago. I never asked for this. I got called for this. I never volunteered for this. I got called for this. Okay? You understand the difference between those people who are out there today and everybody's running this way and running that way and running. Oh yeah, I got called to preach all of a sudden and this, and they're going that way and this way. And, you know, those who are called to preach are now going to missions. If you're called to preach, you're supposed to preach, not be a missionary. If you're called to be a missionary, how'd you get to be a preacher? Yeah. I didn't volunteer for what I got. God called me to it. That's why I stand up here today. No man appointed me. I thank God for what He's done. I do. And I hope to God that maybe he can use me somewhere. I do hope that. But if He can't, it's going to go on because it's not me that makes it go on. It's Him. It's Him. Clearly we see here that God gave us the grace to get off our high horse. And we need to let Him lift us up in due time. Don't let people get your head all swollen up and think of you as something, because God will surely take care of that issue. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God looks down from heaven and sees you and your pride and sees an unclean thing.
Isaiah 64:6, but we're all an unclean thing, and all righteousness is filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I know this. Let me stop. Thank you. The Lord just put something about that leaf fading. If I was up here in my own righteousness and what I wanted to do, it said I'd be like a leaf and I would fade away. I have yet faded away. Because I don't come here in my righteousness. I don't come here in me. I pray, and my wife knows that I pray, Lord, if you can't come up here behind this pulpit with me and use my mouth, then don't put me up there at all. Just end it. Be done with it.
I have it right here. There's something on it. I was going to show you from standing here.
This is my prayer list of people that I pray for on a daily basis. Carrie and Esther, you guys are right here. Absolutely, no question. Absolutely, brother. You got. But I pray. And right down here in the bottom, this is for me. This little corner. And it's not even for me. It's the ministries that the Lord has given me. That if he wants me in them, he'll keep me. If not, he'll take me out. That's right there. I kid you not. That's what I pray. If you don't want me, Lord, then you take me out of it. He knows I didn't volunteer to get in this thing. And if I was in here on my own righteousness, on my own power, on who or what I am, you know what? I'd be like that leaf and I'd be faded away. Thank God for him. Thank God for who he is and his promises. His word is true. It says his word will not return void. I know this. This is not how I want my Heavenly Father to look at me. I don't want him to look down at me and say, that's a filthy rag. I don't want him to look at me like, that's an unclean thing. I want him to look at me and say, he's doing what I asked him to do. You know, God gives us rewards here on earth for being faithful. He just does. He's a good God like that. You know, like I said this morning at Black Creek, I said, me and my wife, we understand a whole lot of God's correction. We do. We know what that's like to get our backside wore out from God. And I said, Lord, now, we've been going through it. I said, how about a little rest, a little mercy, a little grace for me and my wife for a little bit? And I had to sit back and think this morning. My God. And I fell back in my chair and I go, Lord, I almost forgot to thank you for the last few weeks. Have been really pleasant for me and my wife. Things have been wonderful, and I, you know what? I took advantage of it. I didn't even thank the Lord for it. I was ashamed this morning that I have forgot to thank the Lord for the grace and the mercy he gave me and my wife for the past few weeks. And I just sat there and I go, I'm ashamed, Lord. I mean, I had to ask him for forgiveness. Please forgive me for not thanking you for what you gave me. You gave me exactly what I asked you for. I mean, how good of God is that? And then the psalmist said, I got to paraphrase it because I can't remember it all. He says that, don't give me too much because I'll forget you, Lord. Don't give me too little because then I'll curse you or something like that. He says, but the Lord gave me a lot. And just like the psalmist did, I forgot him. I forgot to thank him for what he gave me. And I forgot, you know, normally I thank him for the life he's given me. But for those 2 weeks, about 2 weeks of reprieve that we've had, I forgot to thank him for that. And he just woke me up this morning and showed me that. I was like, I had to come clean with him. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. You know? What are we going to do, run and lie? God knows my heart. I want my Heavenly Father to look at me like I'm trying to do something right for him. As a saved person, we can become prideful in what we think and what we're doing for the Lord. And God does despise this as well. I can get prideful and say, yeah, Lord, well, you know, there's certain people only I can touch, or there's certain people only this person can touch, or that. There is. But I'm not the only one that can touch somebody who's been in mine. One of you guys can touch one of those people as well. God just takes those who've been through that kind of stuff, saves them, and then puts them to use in that place. You notice how I said God takes them, saves them, and then puts them in that place. Because if God didn't set me in a place where I could go help them people, then it wouldn't be me. It'd be somebody else. The next person that's behind me or whatever. You see, it's never us putting us in that position. Please don't ever put me in a position, Lord, that I put myself in. I don't want to be there. Because all it's going to do is, like that leaf, it's going to fade. It's going to wither away. It's going to be gone. It will be no more. God forbid.
Philippians 4:11-13 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content.
I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Anything that I have learned or changed has been because of the strength of Jesus Christ. Anything. Everything. I stand before you today as a person who could not read a King James Bible, even let alone understand it. And the understanding and that knowledge comes from me getting along with Him in my prayer closet and reading that Bible on a daily basis. And I mean every single day. No matter if I'm tired, if I'm awake, if I'm in a bad mood, if I'm on a good mood, it does not matter. The first thing I do is I get up and take care of myself personally, and then I sit at my kitchen table and I read my Bible. Because I'm just telling you, and you know what, there might be a few very slim times that does not happen, but the Lord gives me the grace to get through the day until I can read it, because maybe something's just too busy, or I was up all night long, but for the last 2 hours I was able to get sleep. The Lord gives me grace, lets me sleep, and then later on He knows that I'm going to read. But 99.9% of the time I'm up in the morning, first one, me, bright and early, read my Bible, getting along with God. That's how I've learned to live in this world, in this life, is by that Bible, reading it, praying, living it, teaching it to my kids. Autumn's 7 years old, and for the last few weeks, she's been asking Pastor and me, how do I get saved? What's it going to take for me to get saved at 7 years old? Because it's the Lord working in her heart. It's me and my wife being faithful in that Bible and teaching them and keeping them in Sunday school and keeping them under preaching and living in a house where it's a Christian home. That's how she's. That's why she's asking those questions. That's why she wants. She's wondering what's going on, because that's what she wants. You know what? The Lord will save her when He's ready. I mean, I don't. Do you know how to tell a 7 year old how to get saved? Jesus Christ does. We'll just let him deal with her. Keep her underneath the preaching. Keep praying for her. Let her keep seeking. He'll settle it for her. He'll settle it for Luke, if Luke, that's what Luke desires. I hope he gets a desire to want to get saved. You'll see him up here a lot of time. He's standing behind this pulpit. Why? Because he wants to be a preacher, I think.
Either that or he's just stealing my water.
But anyway. With His strength, anything I've learned or changed is because of the strength of Jesus. It is through Jesus that we accomplish anything. So remember, don't let people, pride, or yourself lift you up. This is what God will do to the prideful. Leviticus 26:17-21 says, I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. You know, those people who are set up in that pride, you know, when God finally does humble them, He said that those that you hate are going to be the ones who rule over you. Could you imagine the humility in that? Then He says, for your sins, I'm going to punish you seven times more for your sins. That's pretty harsh. I mean, that's something I would never want to have to face. So I'd rather not get my head all blown up in pride and all that, because this is not something that I would want God. He said, you shall flee when no one's pursuing you. You're going to just be so paranoid about everything, and there's nothing to be paranoid about. But He says, that's what you're going to be like when you get full of pride. That's what you're going to be. You're going to just feel like there's somebody always pursuing you. There's nobody after you. And your pride's getting in your way. You're thinking, oh gosh, you know, because God is trying to show you and reveal to you. Listen, He's trying to wake you up to what you really are, to what's going on in your life. And you don't want to see it. And you just keep going and keep chugging your way. And then you know what He's saying? You're going to feel like somebody's chasing you. He said, there's going to be nobody there. That's what you're going to think. That's what's going to happen. And that would be kind of scary to me. He says that, I lost my place. They will flee when none pursueth you, and if you will yet not hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven more times of your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. He'll break the pride of your power. Any little bit of thing that you think you have, He's going to snatch that away from you. Snatch that right away, Autumn. He's going to snatch that away from you. And guess what? Excuse me. you'll be in one place. And that's where the Lord found me, on my back looking up, because I had nowhere else to go. I couldn't fall any farther. Couldn't fall any farther. He says that I will punish you 7 more times for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. He won't hear your prayers. He won't hear your prayers. It'll be like iron. Every time you send a prayer up, it's just going to hit that bling. It's going to fall back down. It's going to be worth nothing. Nothing. He's not going to hear it. Now he's had to bring you to a place. He's had to break you and bring you down to a place so low that he said, I'm just not even going to hear your prayers. Could you imagine if God didn't hear your prayers? What a horrible life that would be. What a horrible life if you knew, gosh, I'm praying to God and he's not hearing me right now because of what I've been doing. I think that's pretty rough. That's pretty harsh. When God won't hear your prayer. But he also says that about your wife. If you don't treat her as a weaker vessel, he won't hear your prayers. That's something, how he sticks up for the ladies. I always like that. I tease my wife all the time. You know, you don't see that kind of stuff in the Bible about God sticking up, you know, for the men. He's sticking up for the ladies. He's sticking up for that weaker vessel, your wife, that one you became one flesh with. He's saying, you go ahead and treat her wrong, he won't hear your prayer. Show me where it says that about a man if a woman treats you wrong. It doesn't, because he knows you're supposed to be a man, you can handle that. You're supposed to be a man where you can handle that. The lady, you go ahead and keep messing with her the way you're supposed to, and God's just going to turn a deaf ear to you. That's one thing I learned really quick, don't you think, Aim? Woo! My goodness. And your strength? Yeah, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of thy land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Go ahead, you want to walk contrary to God? Go ahead. God, I'm going to use this word that you probably understand. He's not a cosmic rapist. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force his ways on you. He's not going to make you walk his ways. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. But if you won't, then he's going to bring 7 more plagues upon you. He's going to bring things in your life that you never dreamed of. You talk about in Matthew, he cleaned the house out and then 7 spirits came back even worse than the ones that were before. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine me turning out worse than I ever was before? Because I turned my back on God, I didn't want to do what he wanted to do. In order for him to break me, he brings me not only back to the person that I used to be, but 7 times worse than I used to be. That's what it says. Listen, God's trying to get your attention. Trying to wake us up to what's going on. Trying to help us to see. How merciful is God that he's trying to help us to see what's going on? I say us. I'm not saying you. I'm saying us as a whole. He's trying to wake us up to what's going on, us as a whole. Why? Because we all need to see. We all need to come into agreement on one thing, that we are his body. We're to be doing what he wants us to do and following after his righteousness and living separate and being called to what he wants us to do. We're all supposed to come into agreement. Why? Because there's power in that. There's power in that. Life and our ministries will go on without us. God does not need us to destroy what he wants to accomplish. We should be thankful for the opportunity to serve him, but without self-will and pride, in which God hates. Job 33:17 says that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. God has to withdraw us from our purpose. He's got to hide the pride from us because that's what we'll do. God has to take a preacher, a man of God, a missionary, whoever, an evangelist, and he's got to take us away from our purpose. And then he's got to hide our pride. Why? So that we can accomplish what he wants us to do. And if you're not willing to come to that point in your life, then God can't use you. You're worthless to him. We've seen that over and over again. Paul says, in my flesh is no good thing. You didn't move yourself out of the way so that people could see Jesus. So you're worthless. That's it. You can't be used. We look as a filthy rag in our righteousness. Then you can't be used. God has to withdraw you from your own purpose. I'm not here for the purpose of me. I'm here for the purpose to preach a King James Bible, and whoever is supposed to get help, get help. That's the purpose I'm here for, what Christ sent me to do, not myself. And how does he do that? He moves my pride out of the way. He moves my pride. Hey, I gotta be humble on a daily basis. Because people can get pretty prideful. I can really think that I'm something.
And God has to take that pride from me every single day. Every single day, God has got to hide my pride from me. Because this is somebody, I never had anything. I had very little of anything, if anything. Very little friends who liked me, family, and so on and so forth. I mean, people who liked me, people wanted me around. And now I have almost quadruple of all that. People love having me around. I have family all over the place. And I have every one of their phone numbers, they have mine. I go visit them. I'm in her family, our family, all our church family here, church family there. I mean, people love having me around. Man, we live in our own house. We have our own cars. I mean, things are going wonderful for us. That's very easily to get pride. From somebody who never had a thing to somebody who has everything now. There's nothing. I don't desire anything else. I'm the richest man to walk the face of this earth. For number one, I have Jesus Christ. Number two, I have my family. And number three, I have my church families. What else do I need? What else can I possibly need? This world can't offer me. You know what this world would offer me? The same thing God delivered me from. That's what it would give me. There's not a thing else this world would ever give me. But I don't want nothing else in this world. I want to walk the way Jesus Christ appoints me to walk. Do what he wants me to do. That's it. I cry to God. I sit there. My prayer closet is mine and Amy's bathroom. It's huge. So I can walk around it. I like to walk around and pray. And I get in there and I just say, Lord, I'm begging you for the rest of my life. All I want to do is live as a Christian man. It's all I want. I don't have a desire to go out, step outside of that. I don't have a desire to be anything else. I've tasted what the world can give me, and I don't want it anymore. I don't want it. You're looking at a Class A alcoholic, right? The smell of beer makes me ill. I mean, it turns my stomach. It's something I can't even imagine that I ever did for as much as I did. Drugs. I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach. To even hear what people are doing these days. Man, I thought we were crazy back in the days when I was out there doing stuff. Man, whoo, these youngins, they got it licked. Bath salts, making people eat people's face and all that stuff. Yeah, that's the kind of high I want. Oh, yeah. That's what I want to turn back to. Smoke some bath salts and go eat some people. Woo! Hey, you're crazy. I don't want what you have to offer me. You know? I tell you, The worst that can happen is somebody kills me and sends me to eternity. They send me to my Heavenly Father. So therefore, I just stick my neck out everywhere I go because I really just don't care. Okay? I'm smart about it. I'm just using, a metaphor. I don't live my life according to anybody. I want to be pleasing to the Father. And most of the time, I'm not because I'm a knucklehead. Okay? Most of the time, I'm not because I'm a knucklehead. But I have a Heavenly Father who takes care of that. He's the one who's teaching me. I don't stand here today because of me. I stand, again, I'm going to tell you, I stand because I'm an imperfect man saved by a perfect God. And that's the place that we, that's where we need to stay as people. And if our pride brings us anywhere else, God will deal with it. You know, God, before a person gets saved, I believe God also has to hide their pride from them. Because in order for a person, I was just telling my wife before I got saved, I said, I had never bowed down to a human being in my entire life, and I'm not going to bow down to a God now. But I'll tell you what, if God wants me to bow down to him right now, I'm laying flat on the floor as far down as I can get. Okay? Because that's just how I feel about him now. There's times I can't, most of the time I can't get on my knees and pray. But when I feel the Lord puts it on my heart to get down and pray, I get down and pray. Normally I walk. But there's times that I really need to be humble and really humble myself. And I'll lay flat on that floor. And I mean, it hurts bad. And I'll lay there until I'm clear that the Lord is done with that prayer, that I'm done. He's good. And I'll get back up. Because that's how much I reverence him. That's how much I want to please him. And then you know what? He gives me the strength every time. Every time. And it's not just, we need to stop living for us. Stop living for our pride. Stop puffing our head up. Let's get serious with this thing. Let's get serious with what God has given us and see what he does with it. We don't need to be in the way, because all we'll do is ruin it, okay? Let God get in the way and let us move out of the way. And I'm done.